Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Willie Donick now joins the fold. Willie, we are sending you our best all morning long, all show long. Glad all to right. see you on here.
I'm glad to be here, guys. Sorry I'm late.
No apologies necessary.
A little
necessary.
Bit of eventful morning, yeah. We're okay, though. Everything's good.
Good, good, good. I'm glad to hear it. And perfect timing for Willie to join the fold for our friend Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. Tim, the Titans stink. There's no other way to go about it, but I want your perspective on where does this team go from here?
Yeah, man, I think it's hard to disagree with your assessment.
That is my expert assessment.
Quick and direct as it is. and so where do you go? I mean, you try to develop young players. I think you give more opportunities to players that you think be a part of it going forward. I mean, I think that's, without saying it, that's something that you do. And then the other aspect of it is, you continue to put the face on that, look, we're competing every single week and we're putting the best guys out there for this Sunday to help us win. I mean, that's what you do, whether or not you really believe that or not, obviously can be discussed. But I think that, just with the way the division is looking, you're not out of it, but I think – you certainly have put yourself in a terrible situation.
What have you made of Mike Vrabel's coaching job? Not just this season, but even going back all the way to the final seven games of last year when the Titans went on their seven-game losing streak to end the 2022 season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fallen apart. I've seen some people say, hey, does he even want to be here? Look at his body language. Just look at how he is. And, the thing I would just say is that losing beats you up. It just does. It's, it feels like a funeral every time you lose. And then all of a sudden you keep stringing losses and it feels even worse. So I would say that the job has not been good enough. You talk about kind of, the ending of last year, how this season has gone. I think that while sometimes you can say, but hey, this happened or an injury or these things, took place. While that's always true, you can also always look around the rest of the National Football League and say, well, hey, the Vikings, they have figured it out. And that guy was in our building at the end of last year. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of blame that falls at his feet.
Look at the teams around the league, the teams that are not doing as well, Tim. And maybe being in the Nashville market sort of helps Mike Vrabel, because we don't hear the same sentiment about the Chicago Bears or the Carolina Panthers, teams that are bad. We are pointing the finger at the head coach, the quarterback, everybody else. But it seems like here in Nashville, not necessarily the people inside of Nashville, but when you look at this team from the outside, it's always Mike's a good coach, but it's everybody else's problem. But they don't do that with the other teams that are also struggling. Why do you think that is?
Well, I definitely think just national attention and temperature of what's getting talked about all the time, is different mm-hmm. here than other places. And listen, I think this is the point you're making, but they're ready to move on from Bill Belichick in New England. That was pretty quick fall from grace, it seems. We've seen what Brandon Staley's been under. I mean, he's essentially defending, his job. And, I think some of the other scenarios, whether it's Arizona or Carolina, Chicago, even, New York, some of those teams, you're talking about, first or second year head coaches. And so with that, I think there's probably some different patience. you know, in terms of how you handle it. But I guess what I would say is I think that people are looking at the talent on the roster, and maybe that's not all falling back on Vrabel. And I think that's maybe helped some, or injuries at the position. And so I think that that helps. But I think he's under pressure for sure. And I think nationally, you know, much like Brandon Staley, or much like, look, Robert Saleh, I believe it's going to happen to in New York. I do think some of the attention is going to come on the head coach in the, you know, underperforming nature of the football team.
Now, do you think this, how long do you think it's going to take them, meaning the Tennessee Titans, to sort of build this roster back up? We had a texter text in to us and said, well, this is a multiple year, basically a multiple year build for this team. And my thing is, yes, it is, but fans are going to want to see some, you know, some fruit at the end of this labor next season. They're not going to give you until after next season, the seasons after that. No, they're going to want to see some fruits of your labor next season. So how long do you think it's going to take, or possibly can take him, to build this roster back up, even if he is the guy?
Yeah, here's what I would say. Unless you got quarterback totally right, mm-hmm. which, like, you don't really know yet. Unless you get quarterback totally right, I mean, you're easily talking about something that would take 3 years or longer, like, for sure. Now, if you get quarterback right, and then you start doing some other good things in draft and free agency, then I think you could see the fruits a year out. But those are some pretty big ifs. Like here would be a good example. You know, Detroit Lions. You know, they were not a good football team. They made a change. Dan Campbell comes in. They get Jared Goff. And honestly, it was not great at first with Jared Goff. There were even talks about him being benched. But eventually it turned, and Goff turned out to actually be the guy. And when he was the guy, now drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown and Hutchinson and, you know, getting some stuff right in free agency. Now, before you know it, it's like, oh, shoot, like they're a really good football team now. So, look, I think it takes time. It takes, in some cases, it takes a lot of time.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. Tim, along those lines, one of the ways that you get better quicker is to stockpile some of those picks. And you just mentioned the Lions. They did. They got a lot of picks, and it's starting to turn around for them. So what about the double-edged sword when you ask, do they have the quarterback? I'm looking at their remaining schedule. They're favored in this game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They probably aren't going to be favored in a whole lot of games down the stretch. Would you like to see Will Levis find a way to get a few wins in there and have success? Or would you just assume them end up with a top five pick? Because that's, but on that note, that means they're going to really struggle. And when you look at their offensive line, you know, you're not looking forward to seeing what that looks like each week. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you'd like to see Will Levis experience success so you feel good about where he's going.
Yeah, or you would like to see enough to say, you know what, I'm pretty comfortable. We'd like to go in another direction, right? So, and look, if you're picking in the top five, or, you know, possibly even higher than that, then yeah, I think that, like, let's just look at it as we sit right now, okay? The Patriots could easily find themselves in a situation where they're not winning anymore. So, right, so they could be in the quarterback market and picking early. You know, the Jets at 4-6, they're making a move. Rodgers is there, clearly wants to play next year, probably not going to be in the mix. You know, the Chargers are not going to be in the mix. The New York Giants have 3 wins. They will be in the mix. You know, Chicago could be in the mix. Carolina will not be. And Arizona at 2-9, I think, is going to get better with Kyler being back. And so there's a pretty good chance that Arizona kind of plays themselves into a better record. Okay. So we're just talking about a few teams. And then you know, the idea that, you know, Justin Fields would end up somewhere else. So if you're asking me as I sit right now, what's the better thing to do? And I've talked to you guys a little bit about, you know, some of the quarterbacks that, you know, will be coming out in this year's draft. The better thing for the Titans in the long run is to be picking at the top of the draft.
Yeah. There's a lot of decisions to be made along those lines. Tom Brady came out and said there's a lot of mediocrity right now. I watch every week just like all of us do. The games are exciting for sure, but it does seem like defenses have really come around here, Tim. What are they doing to have so much success, particularly in the red zone?
Yeah, I mean, I think that – I don't know. Okay, who am I to argue with Brady in terms of what he sees and all that stuff? But, like, I don't know. I think there have always been these elements of this isn't as good as it once was. Like, there was this golden era of quarterbacks when it was Elway and Marino and Montana and Young and, you know, like all of that type of stuff. And, like, if I were really going to say what to me is the biggest difference with offense right now, it would be the number of young or backup quarterbacks that are playing. On top of, you know, as much as it's a passing league, we now have quarterbacks running it more. But if you just were to look at it from a standpoint of the Giants are down to their third guy, Minnesota's playing somebody off the street, Green Bay is, breaking in a new quarterback. The Bears, you know, are down the depth chart. New Orleans has done the same thing. Atlanta's been a disaster. Tampa is paying – playing a retread. Carolina's got a rookie quarterback. Seattle's dealt with injuries. So have the Rams. So have the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, like, you know, never mind, like, similar thing has happened in New York and with the Jets, and Cleveland has done it. And, like, Cincinnati has done it. I mean, like, think about it. The Colts have done it. The Titans are doing it. Like, I can't say I ever remember a year, Willie, when we're at, like, week 10, 11, and it's like, if you're a team that has not had to play your backup, like, you can kind of count on one hand or so the other teams that can say that alongside you.
How would you assess the very top of the league right now, especially after the headliner last night between the Eagles and the Chiefs? I got a chance to watch a little bit of the 49ers. They look like they're back on track. So how would you see the top three or four teams in the league right now based on what you've seen?
I think San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Detroit are all right there. And not necessarily in that order, but I think that when you look at Detroit, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that Detroit, because of Philadelphia's schedule, you know, they're going to have the Cowboys coming up and stuff like that. Like, Detroit could end up with home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I think that would be a very, very big deal. So, I mean, that's how I see the top. But I probably think Philadelphia is the best. I think I probably would put San Francisco, if Purdy's going to continue to play like he's playing, and then Detroit next. But depending on where those teams play, I might feel differently about it. And then when you look at the AFC, look, I think that Kansas City is still the team to beat by a lot. I think Baltimore's way of doing business and, you know, how they seem to be improving and how good they are in defense, I think that puts them right there with them, right there with them. And then I think Miami is slightly different, where, you know, some things I think do have to go well for Miami to be in the mix. They can be a handful. We've seen them be a handful. But I would have them kind of a tear down from the other two teams. And then I don't really think, look, as good as the Texans have been and as Jacksonville's been, like, I don't really feel like there's a real threat coming out of the AFC South.
Now, with that being said, Tim, I mean, can or will the Achilles heel for the Kansas City Chiefs be their pass-catching group? Because you can't just rely so heavy on Travis Kelce. He even had some critical plays last night, drop passes, fumbles in the red zone. But it just seems like no matter what Mahomes do or does, that they're always against really good teams. They're fighting because they don't have that legitimate pass catcher outside of Travis Kelce.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, you know, they have some guys that I think they wished would really step up and take over. And I think there have been games that you've seen moments out of them. But I think if we were to sit there and say, like, all right, well, like, who do they trust? Like, who do they really, really trust? You know, not even just in the passing game, but offensively in general. But, I think that when you look at it that way, Kelce, clearly they trust. He's that guy. I think that Jerick McKinnon has proved to be that guy. And I think Pacheco in his own right, because of what he does, feels that way. But, like, who's really, really reliable? Like, it's not Justin Watson. It's not Valdez-Scantling. Sky Moore, I think they wish would have come on more. Kadarius Toney, as explosive as he's been unreliable. And I think that is why, like, they, you know, brought Mecole Hardman back, because it was like, well, at least we're familiar with him and we kind of have a sense of what he can do. So I really think that, like, nobody has really stepped up. They've all had their moments, but nobody's really stepped up. And I think when you get against good teams in critical moments, much like the game last night, you need guys that you can 100% count on and deliver more often than not. And they just don't have it outside of Kelce.
That shouldn't have been a game last night, honestly. The score in Kansas City losing, Philadelphia shouldn't even been close. That should have been, you know, at best for Philly, maybe one touchdown, but at worst for Kansas City, they should have had two more touchdowns on the board. That game wasn't close.
You try to
honestly
take credit away from Kevin Byers' interception? Like, why are you doing that?
Don't bring it up, Tim.
See, there you go, Tim. If
there
it's
you
not
go.
Kevin
Just
Byers,
stir in the pot.
It's A.J. Brown. We're trying to get away from that, okay?
I mean, hey, in all seriousness, like, I didn't look at social media or anything, but, like, I'm sure that every Titans fan that I have on my feed had to be like, what in the world are we doing? Like, what? Like, how did this all happen, right? I mean, yeah, it's a crazy business. Like, it's a crazy business. And, like, sometimes people get it right when they move on from players. And sometimes you get it wrong. And, yeah, that was something. And think about this. I was checking out, you know, Byers a little bit just in the numbers in terms of impact since he's got there. And he caught a little heat initially, I thought, in Philadelphia. But, like, he also was playing, like, week of the trade. And he still had eight tackles in each of the first two games he played in. And what, he had five last night and, a pick and some other plays as well. So I think they're going to realize – I think they're going to love him there. And that's going to be hard to see.
They love A.J. Brown there too.
Yeah, I was just gonna, like, honestly, Titans fans just need to be like, we're cheering for the Eagles. Like, this is what we're doing. We like them, and we're just gonna cheer for them.
Fly Titans, fly is the new war cry here in Nashville. May as well be.
I mean, that's not a terrible idea. It's like, D. Mace is the kind of guy, like, he fills out like a bunch of brackets during March Madness. So it's like. Like a similar thing. Like, you know what I mean? Just do that.
Just have 16 different winners, and sure enough, one of them is going to end up winning the whole thing. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, always appreciate our sit-downs with you every single Tuesday. We'll chat with you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well, Tim. All right, coming up next, we'll react to what Tim Hasselbeck had to say. Plus, how about those Nashville Predators? Probably the most exciting 35 seconds in the history of Nashville Predators of this franchise. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.